That is good. We need that sometimes. Actually, all the time. We need to have something that can changamusha us. That can remind us of our heritage. Amen? Because in our heritage, we used to have karingaringa, we used to have drums, and I guess what? We never used to have carpets, and we would dance until you'd not see anybody because of the crowd in the cloud of dust inside the house. It was still called the house of the Lord. You know that? Praise the Lord. I want us to go into the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts number 16. Verse number 16 is a very common story that we all know, but I believe that God, in the next few minutes, has something to speak to us. Oh, didn't you like the worship? Let me tell you, the secret of enjoying the worship is personalizing the words that we sing in the song. Let not you be carried on by the tune, but think about what you're singing. Think about the phrases. Think about those sentences in those songs. When you personalize those songs, it brings power. Amen? And God in His majesty is waiting for the saints, the manifestation of the sons of God, to come together and sing for Him praise. There's nothing that God desires like a genuine worship from a son that He has redeemed. Amen? So when you come before the Lord, when you enter into the courts of the Lord, I know sometimes we are weighed down by many things during the week, but you know what? This is a special 1 or 2 hours that we come into the presence of the Lord, and I forget everything that has been going on, and I focus on Him that has given me life. Praise be to God. And I put aside anything that would beset me, that would prevent me, that would hinder me from accessing the glory of glory, from accessing the King of to the King of Kings. Remember that we have the Holy Spirit in us. Oh, I feel excited about the word of the Lord. The Spirit of God, as we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And every single one of us has access to go into the Holy of Holies. Amen? Do not allow any problem. Do not allow any heartache. Do not allow any resentment. Do not allow any baggage. Do not allow any luggage. Do not allow anything that would hinder you from accessing and from accessing the Holy of Holies. For in the Holy of Holies, that is where your deliverance is. In the Holy of Holies, that is where your redemption is. In the Holy of Holies, that is where you're going to find an encounter with the King of Kings. Are you listening to me? So when you hit the threshold of this church building, even when you come here or during the week, just forsake, put everything aside and concentrate on Him. And I can almost super guarantee you that when you have an encounter with God, your life will never be the same. When you have an encounter with Jehovah, the King of Kings, the one who holds the matter together, the one who holds the planets together, the one who puts everything and assures that everything runs smoothly, I double assure you that your life will never remain the same. Amen? So determine in your heart, even as a family, that I'll come to the house of the Lord and I'll come excited and I'll come early so that I can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory be to Jesus. I'm excited about what God has done. I'm excited for His redemption. I'm excited about His salvation. I'm excited about the great things that He is doing and He is doing in the church today. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we want to go to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. And don't worry about the time because, you know, we're going to be done here in a few minutes. And I know the Spirit of the Lord is going to minister to us. Now, we are reading Acts, chapter number 16. And you know what? Let's jump all the way to verse 20 because I'll explain to you what the Bible, what this story is all about. So verse number 20, if you're there, can you shout a big amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "This man, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and to observe." Praise be to God. And then the Bible says, we are going to go down to verse number 25. Verse number 25 to 26. But at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. That means that none of them were sleeping. They were listening to the cries and to the shouts and to the praises that Paul and Silas were making inside that prison. And the Bible says in verse number 26, suddenly, somebody say, suddenly. Oh, you better shout it a little bit louder. Suddenly. Oh, say like you mean it. Suddenly. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosened. And the keeper of the prison awaking from sleep, he was sleeping instead of guarding, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Praise the Lord. I want to bring a short message that I call, God will fight for you. Somebody say, God will fight for you. You know, I've read several books, you know, not many, but I've read several books. One of them that really, really left a mark on me is a book written by David Wilkerson about, tortured for Christ. For some of you who have never seen that book, you better go Google it and read it, because it will tell you what a Christian sometimes can go through in defense of his faith. And this man, I think, was in Romania, you know, in one of the countries. And he was working a church underground and trying to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he suffered so much for it, almost to a point of death. But, you know, through it all, the Lord fought for him and he stood by his side. Praise the Lord. You read in the Bible about Paul many, many times. He was stoned and he was beaten. He went all through kinds of sufferings for the sake of the gospel. In fact, I was reading in the book of Acts, I think, believe chapter number 27, about this time when they took a journey they wanted to go to Rome. And as they went to Rome, you know, he warned the people who are his captors not to go, because it was almost during winter and the seas were rough and the ship was almost shipwrecked and they almost lost their lives. But in the midst of the storm, the angel of the Lord came to Paul and told him, you know what? I want you to tell these people that none of you shall die. Praise the Lord. I want to announce to you, child of God, that whether you know it or whether you know it, you are constantly involved in a spiritual warfare. And our weapons of war are not carnal. I mean, they are not physical. They are not. We don't fight with AK-47s. We don't fight with the sophisticated bombs that are made by the United States of America military. But our weapons are spiritual. Amen. And whether you know it, if you are a believer, if you're a child of God, you need to know that even when you're sleeping and when you're walking and when you're working and when you are eating and when you're conversing with people and when you're doing whatever you do every single day, you are constantly involved in a spiritual battlefield. There is a world out there that is mapping up and creating and mooting up assaults against you as a child of God. And there is also a defense mechanism that the Lord has set around you. There are angels that have been assigned to a believer and are fighting for the sake of that believer so that you can stand firm in your faith and so that you will not be defeated. Praise be to God. Why do I know this? We have read in the Bible, in the servant of Elisha, when he opened up his eyes and he saw the so many armies that surround him and that worried him. I wish God can open up our eyes to see the immense and the multitude of chariots of fire that surround us as believers. Amen. If you didn't know, there is a star on top of your house. There is a big star of protection around over your house that oversees you as a child of God. Amen. You may not really, you may walk in fear and you may walk in under intimidation, or somebody might say a word to you that might scare you. But the fact of the matter is that there is an unseen realm that we do not see that is working on our behalf and on our side. Praise be to the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. And having said that, there is a cause for serving the Lord. Amen. Serving the Lord comes with its cost. And no wonder Jesus spake and said that anybody who wants to follow me ought to put on their own cross or put on their own cross and follow me. There's going to be challenges even as we serve the Lord. There's going to be intimidation from the quarters of hell even as we decide to, as we ascend, as we make a decision to jump on the call of ministry that the Lord has put on us. But I want to assure you, verily, verily, as the word of the Lord says, that greater is he that is in us than him that is in the world. It doesn't matter how many angels of the devil that he is going to organize together so that he can create and organize an assault against you. I am here to tell you that God with his immense army is fighting for you. No matter how you feel like you're suppressed or depressed and compressed on the same time, God is working out something. I love this song that says that God in me, working in the inside and to bring the change on the outside. Amen. God is at something good. He is working something in the inside of you. Amen. And he has sent out his angels to protect you. By the way, if you didn't know, we have a host of angels in this assembly today. I see there are some angels here, like four of them. There are some angels, eight of them standing there. And there could be about 8-10 angels overlooking over your affairs today. And if you didn't know, there's an angel over our church today, just overlooking at what is happening around you. Amen? I wish God can open up our eyes and see all these things that have been orchestrated and organized for your protection and for your advancement and for your progress and for your serving God. All these things are there for you. Praise be to God. And so as I walk in the streets of Dallas, and I would beseech you, as you walk in the streets of Las Colinas, as you walk in the streets of Irvin, Texas, as you walk in the streets of McKinney, Texas, I want you to know that God is protecting you. He has dispatched a hound of angels to dispatch you, to protect you. Are you listening to me? Your children can never be sick. Yes, the enemy is going to throw attacks at them. But you know what? Greater is he that is in you than him that is in the world. Glory be to Jesus. The first verse that we read in verse number 20, I want you to know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil will try to twist the truth so that whatever you think about yourself will be demolished or kind of like will be brought down so that to a level whereby the enemy will gain access, or rather the enemy will make you feel like you're not worthy of what you're supposed to, you're not worthy of the call. The first thing that the enemy will do is whatever there are things that are going on in your life, he will come and twist them so that it looks like it is the truth. While it is not the truth. And this is exactly what is happening on verse number 20. As we read here. And the Bible says in verse number 20. And they brought them to the magistrates. And this man being the Jews exceedingly troubled our city. Now the first thing that they lied to the magistrates is that these people were Jews. Paul and Silas were Romans. Amen. They had Roman citizenship. And so he came and said, oh, these people have caused trouble and they are causing us to change our culture. They are causing us to change our custom. This is not even what Paul and Silas had done. Paul and Silas were in their duty serving their master. And there was, the Bible says, if you read in the beginning of chapter number 16, there was this woman who every time Paul and Silas were on their way to prayer, she was foretelling the future. You know, she was also telling all kinds of people, oh, these are the servants of God, and you better hear them because they're preaching the word of the Lord, and you better hear them. And I was asking myself, was there anything wrong with this woman saying this? Yes, she was, because she was kind of counterfeiting, you know, a true prophet. Behind the scenes, she was foretelling other things, and her masters were getting money in exchange of the services that she was offering them. And all at once, Paul felt that this is the spirit of the devil trying to manipulate us through this woman. And she looked at the woman and she says, you spirit that in this woman, I cast you out in the name of Jesus, the Christ, come out. And the spirit of the devil came out of her. And at that point, she was restored, and her owners, the masters, the Bible says, were so mad and wrathful against Paul and Silas. because they were getting some money out of the services that this woman was providing. And so Paul and Silas are taken on before the authorities. And the magistrates, believe you me, they say they strip this man and they ought to be beaten and they ought to be thrashed. They ought to be. And so that's exactly what happened. They were stripped of their clothes and they were bit and they were flogged. Now, many times we read this scripture and we read it in a hurried way. I would like you to imagine this man being the man of God and they were proclaiming the word of the Lord, being stripped in public, the shame that they had to bear, and the agony that they had to endure, to be beaten for the sake of the gospel. Now, listen. The Bible tells us that we are going to suffer many things. In fact, when Jesus left this earth, he said, on this earth that I'm leaving you on, there's going to be trouble that will come on you. And people are going to hate you, not because of who you are. People are going to hate you because you have me inside you, your hearts. So when people reject you, when people hate you, I would like you to know that they're not hating you because of who you are. They are hating you because of the Christ that is in you. The demons of hell, if they were us today, they would come and exterminate all the Christians on this planet. And that's why there's a horde of people called ISIS. And by the way, we need to, everybody who kneels down every morning in prayer, you need to pray against this organization called ISIS, Islamic State. They have been going around beheading the beheading Christians everywhere they can find. You know, in Iraq, they beheaded some Christians. There were Yazidis. I don't know whether they're called the Yazidis, the Christians, and they had to escape into some mountains. You know, in southern Syria, in Libya, they're doing the same. They're going to portions where Christians just inhabit, and they behead them and they kill them. It is our responsibility, Church of God, to go on our knees and intercede for these Christians. Amen? It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to call upon the name of the Lord so that the Lord can come and intervene. The devil hates you. He hates you with a perfect hatred. If the devil would be asked today, you would be exterminated. You would be removed from the face of the earth. The devil is not a joker. Are you listening to me? If given an opportunity, he would come and thrash you on the floor and level you to the ground. But I thank God because God has more power than the devil. Amen? There is resident in you, Christ who has saved us. Resident in you is the life giver, our Lord and our Savior. Amen? He has conquered the devil. When he died on the cross, the Bible tells us that he went into Hades itself. And he walked upon hell itself. And the devil, when the devil thought that he had succeeded and that he had already conquered Jesus on the grave, lo and behold, the battle had just begun. Praise the Lord. So you do not need to be scared. You do not need to be afraid even as you face your future. I know our future many times are uncertain. I know many times when we face our future, there's a probability of fear creeping in. But I want you to know that great is in you. Greater is in you than him that is in the world. Greater is in you than him that is in the world. Greater is in you than him that is in the world. Are you listening to me? God is going to fight for you. And so they flogged Peter and Silas. And you know the story, how it ended. And they said, you know what? We're going to throw you into prison. They were thrown into prison because of what they had done for the master. They were thrown into the prison because of preaching the gospel. They were thrown into the prison because of him that was in their hearts. They were thrown into the prison not because of what they had performed, but because of the services that they had offered for the master. Praise be to God. I dare you not to be scared when they throw you into some prison. There are some virtual prisons that we occasionally visit and we come out. Oh, praise be to God. And they were not only put into the prison, the jailer, the magistrates or the authorities made sure that they were put into the inner cells. And the reason why they were put into the inner cells, they thought that these people had some kind of magic that they had to demand and to command an evil spirit to come out of a woman. And they were scared that these guys would perform the same miracle and come out of the jail. And that's why they assigned to be a resident jailer in prison. And so they were taken in deep inside the prison. And the Bible says that they were shackled. In fact, I looked at the picture. It was kind of a wood that is carved in a way whereby there are holes within a wood, and that wood comes, they were able to stretch their feet, you know, on that board, and that board was made in such a way when it locked on their feet. And so they could not even stand, they could not even move. Praise be to God. Imagine the agony. Imagine the pain that they were through. Imagine the woods that were still fresh. Even on their skins. Imagine how they felt. You know how when you have a wound and the quickest thing you want to happen to your wound is an application of anointment so that it can soothe you. But they were there with the slashes that went through their back. They were beaten in agony. But I want you to notice one thing, that neither pain nor agony stopped these people from glorifying God. The Bible says at about the midnight hour, Paul and Silas began to pray. Somebody say began to pray. And they began to sing a song. And the Bible says that suddenly something began to happen. Let me tell you, child of God, you may not be aware of what happens, but the moment you open up your mouth, the moment you open up your heart and you're in communication with God, there is very, very solemn communication that is going on, and the kingdom, and you never know that there could be a suddenly that could happen at that particular hour. Never play around anybody who is communicating with God, and especially if they're telling God, they're speaking to God they're speaking to God to come and intervene on their behalf. Because the moment they started to pray, something happened that was unusual. When there's an earthquake, normally we hear the rumblings of the glasses and everything. I don't know whether you have ever been in a building where there's an earthquake and you wondered whether what is happening. I've been in one whereby everything moves and everything, you know, you feel like the earth is moving and you feel, you know, it's uncertain and you feel uncomfortable. There's an uncomfortable feeling, especially if it takes place over a long period of time. But the Bible says that there was a violent earthquake, that the foundations of the jail were shaken. Praise the Lord. That when they began to pray, when they began to sing, glory be to Jesus, that the very foundations of their prison began to shake. And the doors and the chains that tied them snapped open and everything was released. And they had a chance to run away, but they didn't run away. Praise be to God. When I was praying and seeking God, I was asking God, God, speak to me about what you mean in the scripture. And he was telling me that there are many in the body of Christ that are in a virtual prison. You may not really feel, or you may not be in a four square prison, but you might be in a virtual prison just because of serving God. I want you to know that the devil is wrathful concerning your family. If he would be asked today, he would want to exterminate you. If you'd be asked today, he would rather lose your job. If you'd be asked today, you'd rather lose your children. And the devil knows the power and the potential that resides in your heart. Praise be to God. Just because of your service. Just because perchance that you might come in connection and in contact with who you are. And the devil is moving about and in a hurry and in an emergency mode, trying to discourage as many saints as he can. Are you listening to me? If you're born again, I don't know how many of you have felt such an opposition coming against you. It could be in your finances. It could be in your marriage. It could be in feeling like you don't have any more any desire for the things of God. And it could be depression. And it could be maybe you're suppressing so many things. The enemy, the accuser of the brethren, is trying to moot up some wrongful accusations against you. And if you're not aware of what is happening, you might be taken captive and put on in a prison. Oh, glory be to Jesus. I feel there's some in the body of Christ. And when I'm talking about the body of Christ, I'm not just talking about Empowerment Christian Center that have been put in a prison of discouragement. And every time you want to rise up and move on, the devil tells you, oh, you're worth it, nothing. Oh, God has forgotten about you. Oh, God has remembers your past. And when he remembers your past, you cannot move forward until you deal with the past. I am here to tell you that when David, the king of Israel, he heard in the book of Samuel, I'm rushing, saints of God, listen to me. When he overheard people saying, we want to stone this man, we want to crush him, because his leadership and what he's been up to has led us astray. And he had people saying, oh, we want to stone him. The Bible says that David encouraged himself before the Lord. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter whether you feel discouraged. Let me tell you, when you know the secret, you need to go on your knees and call upon that name that will never put you to shame. And call upon the name of Jesus. When you praise him, praise is a weapon for your victory. Praise is a weapon that will give you victory. You need to kneel down before your bed or in your closet and call upon the name of the Lord. And he who calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Amen. The devil puts you in and out sometimes in a temporary prison. If you're in a prison right now, I don't know whether you're in a prison or anybody who is in a prison, I want you to know that it's only temporary. And you're staying in the prison is dependent on your revelation of how you ought to call upon the name of the Lord. You can determine how long you can stay in that prison. It could be a prison of depression. It could be a depression. It could be a prison of discouragement. It could be a prison of unforgiveness. You know, there's this thing whereby, you know, somebody wronged you or somebody said something about you and you've been holding them back. And every time you think about them, you don't even want to hear anything concerning them. You resent them in your heart and you feel like you cannot forgive them. I hear the Bible says you are in a virtual prison. And if you want, however long you want to stay there, depends on what you will do. Are you listening to me? And I heard when Paul, in spite of the agony, they may have inflicted pain on you. They may have caused you to resent them. They may have said bad things about you. And you know, you caused pain and it tore you apart. You know, and you felt bad about the whole situation. But in spite of the pain, in spite of the agony, Paul and Silas, in the midnight hour, I believe they were kneeling down. Oh no, they could not kneel down because they were in chains. But they start praying, oh Jehovah, oh God, you know that we are your servants. And let me tell you, every time you pray, your prayer is recorded in heaven. It registers in heaven. Your call is registered in heaven. The Bible tells me, oh yes, that the elders that surround the throne of God, they bow before the presence of the Lord. They go in, holy, holy, the one that is, the one that was, and the one is to come. And you know, one of the things that they hold in their hands, it is the prayer of the saints. It is the prayer of the saints. I dare you, the prayer of the saints. Are you listening to me, Brother Frank? The prayer of the saints. The moment you call upon the name of the Lord, you may not really see the physical manifestation of the prayer. Is it somebody who is sick? I dare you to pray for them. Is it somebody who is going astray? Is it a marriage? Is it a relationship that is almost tearing apart? I dare you to pray. I dare you to kneel down. Oh God, I wish you know the effectiveness of your prayer. Prayer calling upon the name of the Lord. Are you listening to me? When you call upon the name of the Lord, he hears from heaven. And the Bible says that suddenly, there was a wind. It started to shake. Why did it begin to shake? Because somebody had called upon the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, you better be careful if there's somebody within your neighborhood that is calling upon the name of the Lord. Better be ready, because there could be a sudden change. Because when somebody is calling upon the name of the Lord with an authentic heart, with a genuine heart, something is bound to happen. When we pray in this church, something is going to happen. When we pray for the families in this church, something is going to happen to them. When I join hands with somebody, something I believe will happen. Are you listening to me? When I join hands with you, Sister Carol, concerning whatever we want to touch on, if you believe it, it shall happen. And they began to sing. And they began to sing. And there was a violent shaking that took place. Listen, it doesn't matter the strength of your prison. It doesn't matter what size of shackles they are put on your feet. It doesn't matter what shackles they are put and chains they are put on your hands. I told you last week that there are some battles you don't have to fight. This battle, Cyrus and Paul did not have to fight. They didn't even have to go to the magistrates and complain and ask, why did you do this to us? But Paul and Cyrus knew the secret. Your weapon is in your praise. Your weapon is in your intercession. Your weapon is in calling the name of the Lord. Are you listening to me? Your weapon is in the prayer. Your weapon is in the calling upon the name of the Lord. You have a weapon that the world doesn't have. Oh God, I wish somebody can hear me. You have a weapon that the world doesn't have. The natural tendency of the world is to complain. Oh, did you hear what they did for so and so? Did you hear what they even called the phones? And they were like SMSing. And in other words, you become like an agent of WhatsApp. Huh? Yeah, and WhatsApp assists to become what it is. You are the WhatsApp yourself. You know, there are people, you don't have to log to WhatsApp. In fact, when they speak, it's like it goes, you know, to everybody. When they call, you don't even know how. Who told you? Who told you that that happened to me? Who told you? And let me tell you, only 5 minutes. Because the people who, because your spirit creates other spirits that are like you. If you to call somebody, hey, you heard what happened to Sister Catherine? Let me tell you, when you tell that other person, it is like, it spreads like a fire. Stop that, you're not a WhatsApp. Why can't you be a WhatsApp for Jesus? That I had people, you know, in Dallas that are dying because of sin, and we went there and we preached the gospel and they born again, they are no longer going to hell. Why don't you find yourself WhatsApping that? Huh? Wewe unawasa piki tu vitu ambavyo ni hatari hatari. May God forgive us. The Lord says, I was reading somewhere, and this was very powerful, God. I have to conclude. This is what he said. God will never bring you out not to take you in. I'll repeat this again. And this was very powerful. God will always bring you out of something to bring you inside of something else. Are you listening to me? There's no way God would have taken you out of Kenya to bring you inside the United States, and you are the sufferer than you are suffering more than you are suffering in Kenya. Don't look down. Look at me. If your life in Kenya was better than what is here, we better kneel down and call upon the name of the Lord. Because God cannot remove you out of something. He will not remove you out of discouragement or remove you out of a frying pan to throw you into the fire. But he removes you out of the fire into a cooler place every time. You get the metaphor? So God must be removing you. Ask yourself, okay, God, I feel like you have given me victory in so many areas. You have given me victory. This, I didn't have this. I prayed for you. I didn't even have a car. You gave me a car. Lord, my car was breaking down every week. I had to go to the mechanic. Now you have given me a car. That is your victory, because the Bible tells me that I can do nothing but by you. Lord, I went through school. You gave me victory, Lord. If it were not for you that convinced my mind to write what I wrote on that paper, I wouldn't have done it. Lord, you helped me pass. Those are the works of the Lord. That is the glory of the Lord. Lord, I was sick. And when I was sick, I thought I would never come out of this hospital, my sister. But God, through his orchestration, because you prayed for her, you see what happened? That's a very perfect example. When they wrote this, that is the WhatsApp that we need. We spread WhatsApp and everybody was saying, let's pray. Let's pray. This is the purity. Saying, let's pray for this sister. Let's pray for my sister, our mom. In fact, you are saying our mom. Our mom, let's pray. Let's pray. What happened? When you prayed, she told me that she was never thinking she would come out of the hospital bed. But because you knelt down and called upon the name of the Lord. That is why our mother is here this morning. Those that call the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Are you listening to me? What prison are you in this morning? What prison could the devil be putting you? I would like you to know that you're in that prison. I don't need to know what prison you are in. It could be a prison of unforgiveness. It could be a prison of depression. It could be a prison of where you feel, oh, I don't care for the things of God. You know, I'll do whatever I want to do. I don't care. You know, I'll go. I'll give when I want to give. I will serve the Lord if it is convenient to me. Oh, yeah, I don't. That is a prison. Because never God, the Lord never created to be you for you to be like that. Are you listening to me? God expects you to, as a soldier in the army of the Lord, to respond and do the things that pertain to a soldier. What other prison could you be in? You were in chains, but you didn't know. Ah, are you listening to me? I'm concluding now. Having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Having a forgiveness and resentment. Listen, you will be in that prison as long as you want. You can come out of that prison right now if you want to. When we pray and you declare to the Lord, Lord, I no longer want to be in this prison. And suddenly when you call upon the name of the Lord, there will be a shaking that will be instigated from heaven. And you will be coming rumbling. And suddenly you'll be free. You'll be scurrying out and you'll be going in freedom. Let me tell you what happened. You think even preachers are invincible? Let me tell you what happened to me. I like giving you the story so you don't think that I'm super spiritual. It is only God who clothes me with his anointing when I'm here. Otherwise, if I step up there, I'm vulnerable like most of you. I didn't say all, but most of you. So I go to Kenya the other day, and I'm concluding with this story. And this guy was my favorite, you know. I called him, he doesn't respond. When we are here, he tells me to help me with, you know, the way we are, you know, you help, you feel like if they are, you're helping them, they should also respond, you know, and do something. So when I'm going there, and Catherine knows who I'm talking about, I'm calling this guy, and he's telling me, where are you? And I'm telling him where I am. And, oh, I receive so many calls, but I don't pick up many calls. So I say, oh, even me? And I told you I'm the one, and I'm your best friend. Even when I was here in Kenya, you won't even pick phone? Let me tell you, I said, why can't be in a prison of sinfulness? This preacher that's talking to you, because I stand up in Kenya. And you know the way we feel ourselves, like we are so great that we stay in America, and you go to Kenya, and those people are useless, and... Okay, I was not feeling like that, but I was expecting this guy, you know, as my friend was, could respond since I don't come to Kenya every day, you know? And I'm calling him and he's not answering. And I finally I told him, Kwani, you changed. What happened to you? We do things when I'm over there and here, we communicate nicely. You call me, I call you, and you pick up the phone. Now you don't want to receive the call. Kwani, what's happening with you? So finally, I come here and I'm still having this resentment and I'm saying, why does this guy not even call me? Eh? He claims to be my BFF. BFF, yes, I'm happy. You know? But let me tell you, the Lord started dealing with me. Specifically one day, I'm telling you the truth, I was in prayer, and I saw his picture coming, just passing through me, and I said, eh, nimeshikwa. I saw his picture just, and I'm, right there, I was speaking in tongues. Oh, Rasha Tobo Shekayanda. Hey, Rukasha, I bind you, devil. And I see his picture coming here. So I'm like, what devil are you binding if you're still not forgiving your friend? So you know what? I said, Lord, before I even Kuramashanda and bind the other, the next devil on the next on the line, Lord, I ask you to, I forgive brother, this brother. And Lord, I'll call him. In fact, I'll text him. And you know what? The next morning, in fact, when the morning, you know, became morning, I called him and I told him, I left him a message. I said, you know, brother, I've really, really been resentful about you. Because when I came in Kenya, I tried to communicate with you and there were things we wanted to do together and you never responded. You never called me. And you know what? I was feeling like I would really strangle you if I find you right now. But you know, the Lord told me to forgive you. And I forgive you, my brother. And we can continue helping each other the way we were helping at. In fact, that brother called, he wrote a text to me and he said that he saved that message because he could not believe how I felt about him because he was so busy. He's involved in helping children who are orphans and he was out of the town where I was. You see how sometimes the devil can work in us? He was in a place where there was no network. Now, Mimi, I'm so grateful. I'm feeling like, why can't he call me? And the guy was not even, he didn't even have the idea that he wanted to, you know. So I asked the Lord, forgive me. And let me tell you, I'm free. And I told the Lord, Lord, going forward, I don't want to be holding people. Like when somebody does something, I'm angry and I'm feeling, why did they do this? I want to be free. Amen? I want to be free. So tonight, you can come out of your prison. You can tell God, God, I forgive this person that has hurt me this long. Do you know there are some people in the church today who do not speak to other people? It may not be here in the church because I see you hugging each other, but it could be maybe a better place of your work. You don't talk. When you see them, you go into this left wing. And they go into the right wing. And when you meet, you pretend that you have never seen them. And you're claiming to be a child of God. That is wrong. You need to ask God, kneel on your, go on your knees, tell the Lord to forgive them. And the Lord will forgive them. Do you know if you don't forgive anybody, you'll never give into the kingdom of heaven? That's what the Bible says. Do you think there's going to be unforgiveness in heaven? No. Do you know there's going to be unforgiveness in heaven, Sister Christine? Is there going to be unforgiveness in heaven? Pastor Francis? We start from here. If you have unforgiveness today, when you hit that door, you need, if it's in Kenya, pick up the phone. If you don't have the money, come and call me. I'll give you money. To call, I'll give you phone money to call Kenya. Call them, tell them, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you. Let me tell you, come out of that prison. Because God has great things for you. Are you listening to me? Stand on your feet right now. We have to conclude. I don't have more time. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. We want to conclude now. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Bible tells me, who knows the heart of a man except that man and God himself? You know what? We can chat, we can talk, we can even laugh with each other. But there's no way I can access your heart unless by divine revelation. But you yourself, say me. You know your heart and God knows it too. And you know what things you might be going through. But you know, remember this. You can stay in that prison as long as you want. And the last day or the last minute might be now. I would like you to lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand and we are going to pray together. As we pray, let the Spirit of the Lord deal with your spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And whatever stands between you and you getting out of that prison, you need to confess it right now. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you. We adore you. We declare there's no God like you. Father, you're able to see our hearts clearly. For the Bible tells me nothing is hidden before your sight. Father God, if there be unforgiveness, if there be resentment, if there be discouragement, whatever it is that holds the people of God back, Lord, we call upon your name right now in the name of Jesus. And as you did for Paul and Silas, Lord, I pray that you shall bring your deliverance in the name of Jesus. Let the foundations of those prison walls begin to shake. In the name of Jesus. Let the foundations begin to shake now. Let them shake right now. And let their doors snap open. Let the chains fall off. I declare for the chains to fall off. The chains of discouragement. The chains of unforgiveness. I sever them right now in the name of Jesus. The chains of depression. Right now I sever you in the name of Jesus. The chains that hold people back from serving you, I break you right now in the name of Jesus. As men and women confess, Lord, to you, O God. Father, my Lord, may you hear their cry to the glory and honor of your name. Thank you, Jesus. We know there's freedom right now because we've called upon your name. For the Bible tells me, he who calls upon your name shall be saved. I thank you, Father, and I bless you. You might be in this place, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you'd like to say, this is the day that I want to surrender my life to the Lord. Lift up your hand. Is there anybody who wants to give their life to Jesus? Lift up your hand right now. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. You're sick in your body and you need a miracle from the Lord. I feel in my spirit. Lift up your hand. We want to pray together. You need a touch from God. I don't know what the need is, but I feel in my heart that there's some needs that are in the house today. Lift up your hand. We are going to pray together. Amen. I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, you also who sees in secret, Lord, may you travel into the hearts of each and every birdie who is lifting up their hand. Father, their needs lay bare before you. I pray that you may bring a solution in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as your servant, I stand in the altar of God, and I declare victory and a better solution and a clear solution even to the problems that your people are going through. Lord, let there be a breakthrough. Let there be a miracle where a miracle is needed in the name of Jesus. Let there be financial breakthrough. Let there be healing if there's somebody who is sick. In the name of Jesus, I declare your healing power. I declare your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough upon breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough upon breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we bless your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody who loves him, say a big amen. Amen. Give him a hand of praise in the heart.